Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the Midnight Triple Feature podcast. You can find us on the web at midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com, on Twitter and Facebook at MT Feature. You can subscribe to our channels through iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, and YouTube. And you can send feedback and requests to midnighttriplefeature@gmail.com. For today's episode, we are discussing the 1965 Japanese superhero film Invaders from Space and the 1974 video nasty Flesh for Frankenstein. This podcast may contain spoilers. Enjoy.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 32 of Midnight Triple Feature. Adam's here.
Yep.
Jeff's here.
What up?
I'm Mike. And you can find us on at MT Feature on Facebook, Twitter. And I apologize for the audio problems that we've been having lately. Everything sounds fine coming through the monitors. And then every time we record, it seems to come out a little weird. So we just retested it and tested it. I think we got it narrowed down and fixed. So we should be all set.
Also apologize for a week late. That was my fault.
Do anything fun at least?
Yeah, I did. I went to Vermont.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Nice.
Bought some maple syrup.
Any growlers?
No, I didn't see any growlers. What happened was I was going to go to a little brewery up there, but they closed the brewery to the public and are only selling out of stores now because they had such high demand. Alchemist Brewery, which is in Waterbury, Vermont. The demand was so high that they had lines around the brewery on weekends. So they were like, fuck this, we can't do this. So they close it to the public, and now they list all their stores, basically, that you can buy it at. But they only sell one kind of beer. It's an IPA, and they only sell it in, like, the 16-ounce cans.
Huh.
Yeah, but I was going to get some of that. I didn't. So then we stopped. We went to this winery, and they were selling hard cider. So I bought a big bottle of hard cider, like a 24-ouncer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was pretty good. They were sampling it for free and everything, so.
Yeah, these guys I was with, they were drinking, it's hard, I forget the name of it, some sort of hard cider. And then they were dumping shots of Fireball into it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what they called it, but it was pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would put anything in it. I think it's all right the way it is. It's not super strong, but it's good.
Like, I like apple cider, but I can't drink hard cider.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was different, man. This was almost like, it was more like a, like if you, I don't know if you like champagne and shit like that, but it almost had like that kind of a taste to it because it was from a winery, but it was infused.
No, like a sparkling.
But it was like
apple cider.
Yeah, but it was good. It was strong. It had that good, like, strong flavor to it.
Yeah, I like champagne.
Yeah, so if you like champagne, you'd probably like this.
It's always good to try, like, wineries out of the ordinary things because that's where they're best.
Right, and I figured that was they had, you know, like the normal wines, mm-hmm. the normal reds and all that. And I was like, I'm going to try the ciders because that's, like, they had them on tap and everything. And yeah. I was like, I'm going to try that.
I've been to a few good. That had the wines infused with brandy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really. So anyway, that's why we're late. That was my fault. It was my wedding anniversary, so.
And I ain't done shit, so I ain't got nothing to talk about. I haven't done anything.
Well, have you watched anything?
That I have.
You want to go first? You
want me to start?
Yeah.
So, let's start here. Have you seen The Carriers?
Is that the one with the poster with the guy on the front?
Yeah, and he's like walking down the highway.
Like a mask over his face.
Yeah,
I know what it is. I never saw it.
It's like Quarantine, isn't it?
Yeah, so we got it. I signed up.
I know it's about a virus.
I don't know. I linked something to my Vudu account and they gave me like five movies for free.
Yeah, I got that too. I did that several times under several different accounts and merged them all together and ended up with like 45 free movies.
Oh,
different ones. Yeah. And my library was like came full. I used three different emails and signed up and then you can merge accounts. And I pulled all the different movies in.
Oh, well, then we should merge our accounts.
Yeah, see if we can do it. Because I also have the entire Friday the 13th collection in there because I have that set. So I had the Voodoo code. So I have every single Friday the 13th in there, including
the Well, then, we have to merge. I've been wanting to watch the other ones that I don't have.
Yeah.
But no, I merged it. When I merged it, it was one of the movies that they gave me.
Yeah, I have it. It's on mine, too.
Man. Yeah, it's actually, it's a zombie movie, but it's not like... It's not really a zombie movie. Like, there's very little zombies in it. It's more about the people in the movie. And, yeah, it's really, like, it's more of an emotional movie. Like, they kind of fuck with your emotions a lot. It was actually pretty good.
Was it?
So, yeah, I would definitely recommend checking it. I don't want to give too much away because talking about it is
like I said, I have it,
hard,
so it could.
But, yeah, I would definitely check it out. I would recommend that one. And so I've watched a few Gamera movies, a couple of Godzilla movies. As you can see, I've been on this Japanese kick with the movie that I picked for the show today. But I finally caught up. I started watching, there's this, what the hell's the name of the channel? It's this channel I've been watching on online. So it's on, Filmon, which is now on the Roku is working again.
Is it?
Yeah. So you can get them all. Yeah, for now.
I gotta add it again.
I've been watching it, on the Roku and on a I started on a laptop, I finished on the Roku, but they've been running the series called Johnny Sacco and a Giant Robot and his Giant Robot.
Okay.
It's basically, it's a Japanese show. Little boy has a robot that can destroy giant monsters.
That's
but
awesome.
He controls it with a watch. He's got a wristwatch.
Like,
but it seems
like an iWatch?
That's every kid's dream.
Yeah, right? Kind of. And he's the only one that can control it through this watch. And whenever a giant monster comes, you know, something always happens where he loses the goddamn watch. Always loses the watch.
Of course, right?
And then he just calls a giant robot, and it's actually a really good... It's a Japanese series.
Yeah.
Ran for like 26 episodes or something.
Huh.
I wish they'd check it out. It's a fun little thing to watch. So it's kind of like watching a kaiju movie,
right. But
you only get it for a half an hour and then it's done. So it's actually just the monster fight.
Which is the part you really want to see.
Yeah. So been watching that. I watched Bigfoot off the Troma YouTube page. Now, it's actually really not that bad.
Sure.
It's actually a lot better. Which one did we watch? Was it Nightclaws, was it?
We watched Nightclaws.
Nightclaws. 100 times better than that movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
It's guy in suit.
Okay.
And it's actually not really that bad. It's kind of like a dude in a Halloween costume, but it actually looks legit. Yeah, and the acting's not that bad. It's kind of like that movie where you have one or two really good actors, and then everybody else around them kind of sucks.
Right. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's kind of like that.
It's like that basically happens with a lot of independent movies, because we've covered some where, like, the acting has been, you know, you get like a couple that are good and then everybody else around them is like really flat or just, you know.
Yeah, it kind of follows the main guy, and then it follows his friend who is like the local sheriff. The sheriff is just a shitty actor, man. He's really bad.
Yeah.
And his whole thing, like through the whole movie, he's going, oh, if you see my wife, tell her she looks so skinny. Because apparently anytime someone tells her that, she comes home and fucks him. So that's like an ongoing thing through the whole movie. So it kind of gets old after a while.
It's like a joke that would work like.
Yeah, every once in a while. But
not for the whole fucking
movie.
Yeah,
it runs too long.
Right.
But I would say, actually, for you, check it out because we watched a few of those.
Yeah.
Bigfoot movies.
Yeah,
and
it seems like we watched too many of them.
Yeah, we just kind of hated them. I also watched Cybernator off the Troma YouTube page.
Oh, my God.
you seen that one?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
All these Troma pickups, man. Because they don't produce any of these. They just distribute them.
Yeah, that's it.
And then they don't pay. Like, they pick up all these movies to distribute. They don't actually pay the people for the movies. And, like, their whole thing is they'll tell, you know, they say to the filmmakers, well, just be happy your movie's getting distributed because otherwise no one would see it.
Well, know? Lloyd Kaufman's the one who makes money on it.
Yeah, and even he probably makes very little on that stuff, you know. That's why he gives it away for free.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, these are right up on their YouTube page to watch.
Well, there's that famous story with, it's in the book. When Lloyd Kaufman wrote his second book, he had his foreword written by Trey Parker, Matt Stone, you know.
Yeah.
And they told the story about when they sold the rights to Cannibal the Musical to Troma and how they went with Lloyd out to L.A. and they're like, they were psyched. You know, they're like, oh, my God, we're going to sell our movie to Troma and Troma's going to distribute it. And they took Lloyd out for tacos and they said he's sitting there eating tacos. They paid for the tacos. And then it's like this whole thing where they're like, basically, so how much are you going to get? And Lloyd's like, not going to get anything. And then they're like, and then he picked up another taco and ate it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like this whole thing about how he was so nonchalant about it. Like, you're not going to get paid for this. Like, we're just distributing it. Be happy it's out there. Obviously, they didn't need it because South Park hit right after. So now they're multimillionaires. But
yeah,
it's a funny story to read it because I see that must be how it is all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like people
yeah.
who aren't aware of it go to Troma and they're like, yeah, we'll distribute it. And they're like, really? Sweet. What's our cut? And they're like,
nothing?
I bet you he's kicking himself in the ass for not taking Trey their movie.
He took it.
Oh, he did take
it. Yeah, Cannibal the Musical is like one of their biggest hits of all time.
Yeah.
Troma made a shitload of money off Cannibal
made
the Musical.
Made a ton of money. Really?
Because, right, so when I was at a Fangoria convention in the mid-90s, Troma was there. And South Park had just hit. Like, I'm talking like season one had just hit. So it was like 97. And I go up to the trauma table and they're like, oh, we have this movie. It's a VHS of this movie, Cannibal the Musical. And it's from the guys that made South Park. They go, watch South Park? I'm like, yeah, I'm 14 years old. I watch South Park. And, so I bought the VHS and they fucking sold so many copies of that tape just because when they put it, it like worked out where right when they were ready to distribute it, South Park hit. So like they had this property in their hands that was worth a fortune. I mean, that movie was a huge hit for them. It still is. It's a huge cool hit.
Oh, I thought they would have pulled it from him if he,
They're not allowed to. You give the rights to Troma. You can't take them back. They would have to lose the rights or they'd have to buy them back. But they don't care. You know, like, Trey Parker and Matt Stone didn't give a shit. Like, they did the commentaries. You should listen to the commentary in that they did. It's the funniest thing because it's drunken commentary. About an hour in, they disappear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't heard it, but
they're so drunk by an hour in. It's like a 15-minute space of time where they're not even talking anymore. It's so good. Yeah. It's one of the best commentaries I've ever heard.
Well, you hear a lot of these stories with Troma where all these extras come in to do the movie.
Yeah.
And they basically just get a warehouse. Yeah. Just shove everybody on cots in one big room, big warehouse.
He said all they do is they put the stars in like a cheap ass motel because they don't want the stars to leave because they can't reshoot their shit. Yeah. But the extras, he's like, fuck them. I don't care if the extras walk out. I don't care. He throws them in a big warehouse with cots and shit. It's like a fucking like an internment camp. You know? Anyway. So yeah, the shit with Troma, man, they take anything and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So I also watched Flesh Eaters from Space off the Troma YouTube page. Three of them I watched off of there.
Wow.
Now, this shouldn't be called Flesh Eaters from Space. It should be Flesh Eater, because there's only one, right? And actually, you would probably fully enjoy this. Like, this is something you probably want to check out.
All right.
It's actually not that bad, and the monster is a guy in suit.
Okay.
And he basically gets on Earth. And then he just walks around. He's basically a zombie, just eats people. The effects are done really well. The whole movie is actually pretty good. I mean, right down to the music is really good. But it really reminds me, I'd like to see what you think if you do watch it, is every time the flesh eater eats, it completely reminded me of Piranha. You know how in Piranha, every time the piranha's coming, you get that exact same cut shot, and they go,
yes,
you get that noise. You get the exact same face shot of the monster, and he's like, chon, 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 chon. It's exactly the same. They just completely ripped it off, I think, anyway. But yeah, that's a really fun movie to watch. Like, you'll enjoy that. That's just something you kick on and just have a couple beers.
All right.
It's really enjoyable. I watched Cockneys versus Zombies.
I saw the last half hour of that.
Oh, yeah?
On IFC one night.
It is fucking hilarious.
I loved the last part of it. Really, I was surprised how much I liked it.
You probably missed one of the best scenes. The very beginning when the zombies first come, like the first thing, like the first 5 minutes is the most gruesome shit I've seen in a fucking zombie movie like that. One of the effects is the zombie bites the dude in the face, but only gets his lip. And it shows his entire lip being stretched out, and then the zombie like rips on a downward angle, so it rips the lip right down past the chin and just stretches it out and rips it right off, like the whole front part. It's fucking awesome.
I saw the end and I was surprised. Like, I saw the stuff with like the old folks home and shit, like all the guys. I thought that was all pretty funny. I got a kick out a lot of that. And
there's one really fantastic part with this guy gets bit in the arm, and this chick comes over and shoots the zombie in the face with a shotgun. But the mouth stays on his arm, and he's sitting there, and he like shakes it a couple times, and it doesn't come off. And she's like, "You got to get it off." He's like, "Fuck that, mate." He was like, "If you pull it off, it's gonna rip my skin." He's like, "Just leave it." And he goes for like 15 minutes, like just straight, just with the zombie half
face. It is a funny movie.
Stuck to his fucking arm. It is really hilarious. It's really good. It's on Netflix. They're streaming now.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, I think Scream Factory actually put it out.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they distributed that. Pretty sure.
Speaking of Scream Factory, I bought the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 12 episodes of the old TV show.
Oh, the Shout Factory? That's a Shout Factory?
Yeah, yeah, done by Shout Factory. And it's got the Power Rangers crossover on it. Power Rangers in Space, dude.
Really?
It's fucking awesome. Yeah, I got it for like $5 at Walmart.
That's not bad.
Technically it was supposed to be like 10, but it was on the $5 rack, and when I cashed out, I told her that, and she was like trying to call her manager. And I was like, if it's $10, put it back. I don't want it.
She's like, fuck it.
I don't want to wait. And then finally she's like, fuck it. She put it in for
$5. She's like, no one else is going to buy this stupid fucking
thing. She's like, I'll let this fucking nerd take it.
She's like, I got a 30-year-old man in front of me buying 12 episodes of Disney Turtles. Just like he's probably mentally challenged anyway.
I didn't think of it that way. But I bought it and watched it. It's awesome. Just like when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. yeah, other than that, I haven't really seen anything else. I've seen other things, but...
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I watched... I have one episode left of the From Dusk Till Dawn TV series. It's on Netflix now.
Oh, yeah?
So you've seen the movie From Dusk Till Dawn? Have you guys seen it?
The first one.
Yeah, the first one, yeah. So like, I remember when they like announced the series, it was announced that basically Robert Rodriguez was taking the movie From Dusk Till Dawn and just spreading it into 10 episodes. And I think on this podcast, I was like, that's fucked stupid. That's never going to work. It's actually not that bad.
It's the movie cut?
So what he did, no, he reshot the entire story over the course of 10 episodes. So he took a movie that was like
a miniseries.
Yeah, he took a movie that was an hour and 45 minutes and turned it into a 10-hour story. Which sounds crazy. You're like, how is that ever going to work? It's actually pretty good. Like the whole first episode is just the liquor store scene in the beginning. But it's like, you'd think like, oh, well, that's just going to drag on. But it's actually really good. There's a few new characters. So they introduce like this Texas Ranger and they spend a lot more time with him. There's a lot more backstory into Richie and Seth, the brothers. The only, like, I was really liking it, like, a lot, like, up through, say, episode 6. And then as it gets into, like, the stuff with the titty twister, it seems like it starts to just drag out. Because in the movie, you get to the titty twister and it's, like, 40 minutes or whatever. And it's basically just the minute the vampires show up, it's, like, carnage for, you know what I mean? It's just, like, action. Whereas they took the titty twister scenes and put that into, like, 4 or 5 episodes. So it feels really long. And there's less vampires, so it doesn't feel as, like, awesome. I didn't get the
full effect.
Yeah. I didn't get to the final episode, so I still don't know if the final episode's gonna have, like, a all-out brawl. The acting's good. The acting is actually pretty good. I like the guy that replaced Tarantino, because Tarantino's a shit actor, man. He's so bad. And the guy that replaced him is pretty good. The guy that replaced George Clooney is basically the same. Like, not looking, but, like, the performance is identical. The chick that replaced Juliet Lewis is actually better. The Asian kid, that replaced Scott, sort of so-so, but he's got a badass scene with a machete where he, like, does all these moves and shit. I liked Harvey Keitel I like better in the movie than Robert Patrick. But overall, man, I would actually say check it out. You don't have Netflix anymore, right?
Cause it's
something you might actually dig. It's pretty violent, but it's like a gangster, you know, like a Tarantino type gangster movie. You know, with vampires, so it actually worked. I was actually really surprised. I got into it really. Like you said with Californication, you watch or The League. You watched one episode of The League and you were like hooked.
Yeah.
I watched one episode of this and I was hooked. I watched 6 episodes in 3 days.
They tried doing that with Zombieland too.
Yeah, and
Amazon
it failed.
Prime. Yeah, I'm surprised it failed. They could have probably did some good stuff.
I didn't see it, so
for a comedy.
I don't know, but I thought it was gonna happen with this. I gotta be honest. I was surprised. It was actually pretty good. Good production value. Some of the effects overall they're good, but CGI blood in there that I hate CGI blood.
Oh, me too.
Just one thing I hate, it's CGI blood because I think I don't see why you need to do that, especially when you've only got one vampire. And there's a scene where one of them gets cut in half with a chainsaw. And you'd think, like, it's just one effect. I get that maybe it costs a little bit more, but the CGI blood just looks weird, you know? It looks fake, so.
It was like that in Cockneys versus Zombies.
Did they have
like
the CGI
everything,
blood?
Yeah, everything was like regular blood, like.
Regular effects, pretty much, right?
Yeah, regular effects. And then every time there was a gunshot, it was like a not a blood pack, but like a, I don't even know what the fuck you'd call it.
Squib.
Not a squib, right? It's not a squib, but it's.
It's CGI. It's, I don't know, cause there's an effect.
Normally they would use
a squib.
There's
an effect of the shirt breaking, but the spot of blood that follows
CGI.
Is CGI.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's really annoying.
Yeah, so.
And The Walking Dead does it all the fucking time.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
You can go into any effect store and buy like 10 gallons of blood for $20. Like,
yeah, but
just
you know
use
what?
It.
If you really think about it, The special effects from somebody getting shot, they do it. It's totally wrong. It's not the way it is in real life. When you get shot, all you see is a hole. There's never any blood. It's always on the back part.
Well, you know, but you know,
it's for TV.
It's probably
TV,
a movie.
They do it eccentric.
Right.
I gotcha.
I've seen ones that did it with the blood in the back. I've seen it before in movies where they go the realistic route. I have actually seen that.
Not that I'm like a killer or anything. I don't know anything about that, but you know.
So anyway, I do recommend you at least give the first episode a shot.
I know what it looks like when someone's shot.
I know. He said shit like that before, I think, like about dead people and shit. And
easy.
Pretty sure. I watched Captain America Winter Soldier.
Awesome. Oh, I never got to that.
I got it on digital.
So good.
HD.
I got it on
you
digital
watch
too,
it,
and I
you
haven't
watched
watch
it.
Awesome movie.
I really liked the first Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one was good.
This one, man, is fucking unbelievable how good it is.
If they're going to make another one, I would rather see that before the new Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Like, this has got to be, like, my... out of all the ones that I've seen, because I haven't seen, like, all the Iron Mans, and I haven't seen Thor and stuff, but of what I have seen, this is my favorite one. Yeah. I love this. Some of the fucking action set pieces in this movie are so good. Yeah. Like, the car chase
not CGI either.
Right. No.
Stunt.
The car chase with Fury.
Yep.
Where like they're all where all the cops are shooting the car
that
and everything.
That was fucking awesome.
That is so well done. It's nuts.
I fucking love that.
There's the fight choreography.
Who wouldn't want a car that
the gun choreography? Yeah, the I know a car that does
awesome.
That. All of it, man. The gunplay, the fight choreography, everything.
Holy
and
shit.
There's so much of this that's all done with stuntmen and stuff. You can tell it's like. Highly, you gotta watch it, man. I was blown away. I was hooked. Like, I was like, holy fuck, this movie's so good.
Scarlett Johansson, too, on the bridge there. That,
oh!
Not to give any spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, I know, it's nuts.
That was fucking phenomenal. And,
good
and
stuff.
And Winter Soldier. Oof. You gotta see this movie.
Yeah, like, the villain. Well, he's sort of the villain. He's the muscle. Cause there's another villain, technically, cause... There's a
he's
guy
like
behind
the
scenes.
Behind
but like your muscle, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. If I was gonna be the bad
fucking,
guy, I wanna be the fucking Winter Soldier.
Yeah, really good bad guy. I mean,
just by his
movie.
Look, his fucking demeanor.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact, I mean, just, man.
Yeah. No, I swear to God, we're probably talking it up so much now, Mike's gonna be like, eh, it's alright.
Yeah.
No, but really, it was good.
That's even better.
The only other movie I watched was, I watched The Terminator again. Which,
the first?
Yeah, which is definitely not like definitely my favorite of the series. I've definitely decided that after seeing it again. Because I always went back and forth, like, do I like Terminator 1 or Terminator 2? Definitely like the first one better.
You know, if you watch them all in a row, like right after you know, do like a Terminator
thing,
I don't know, it makes them all look good.
Yeah, but they're only like it's gonna slowly decrease. Like as you get to 3,
yeah, you're like okay,
you get like Arnold wearing those fucking glasses with the stars, and you get like it starts to become a little bit of like a self parody. Like 1 and 2, man, those movies are solid.
Yeah, they're solid.
But the first one, man, it's like it's a slasher movie. You know what I mean? Like it's this unstoppable dude running around murdering people, and like the last half of this movie is just like a chase, and the whole scene in a police station where he murders everybody.
Yeah, it's just meant to keep you on the edge of your seat the whole time.
It's just so good, man. I love that movie, and it's making me interested to see what they do with Genesis, with the new one.
That's
it's,
right, they are.
Yeah.
It's filming, yeah.
Yeah,
they're already
filming. They're filming now.
And it takes place in like 3 different decades, like in the 50s. I think that's
a good idea. You know, something that the prior movies didn't really do too much of is like, go from time to time and spend a little time there and show what's actually
the first
happening
time
there,
the only
know?
Time they tried to do it was in Salvation where they went to the future and the whole most of the movie takes place in the future in the war, but that movie it was just all right. I mean, I'm just curious, what are they going to do in the 50s? You know, like I don't like, are they rebooting the entire franchise? You know, because
know.
Like the original story from what we understand of it starts in 84. Because that's when Terminator first goes back to destroy Sarah Connor. And so that's really where the story begins. So, like, is this going to be them, like, trying to destroy Sarah Connor's mother? And also...
maybe that, or maybe...
But that would be stupid, because then it would just be the same movie again, you know?
Maybe
like,
that corporate... Does the corporate... They don't say when the corporation...
Skynet?
Skynet doesn't... I mean, it could have been...
Right.
They could incorporate that
I think
say
they
the
do
War
say and, when Skynet... was created in the series.
No, because that wouldn't work. It wouldn't be her mother, right? Unless I'm bad at math.
Yeah.
Well, because
sure,
if they go back to the '50s and Sarah Connor in '84,
you're right.
22,
she's 20. Yeah, she's like maybe 21.
That means she would have had her when she was what 12.
No, but
oh, it doesn't matter though. He could kill her when she's a kid, as long as she doesn't exist in not say 19.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Yeah, okay.
I mean, they could
focus
exactly on her mother.
Right, like he went back to murder Sarah Connor before John Connor was even a thought.
Yeah.
But also, Kyle Reese, the character, is in the new movie. Kyle Reese, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Terminator, but Kyle Reese dies at the end of the Terminator movie, the first one, and he's in Salvation as a kid. So I'm wondering how they're going to bring Kyle Reese back. Are they going into the future? Are they going into the 80s?
You really have to stop and think about it, because a lot of shit that
these
happens,
timelines are insane.
You wonder how the fuck it could have happened. I mean, you know Sarah Connor gets pregnant by Kyle Reese.
Right.
But he dies. So how the fuck does he know in the future to come back to the past?
John Connor sends him. John Connor knew that Kyle Reese was his dad.
Oh, I know, but he dies in the past.
Yeah.
So how the fuck does he get to the future?
Because he's born in the future. He's still born.
Yeah.
Like, it may have been like a paradox had he survived and been alive in the whatever year he was born, not 2000, whatever. But because he dies in 84, basically, he disappears in 2000 and
whatever.
Yeah,
you know, they would probably have to make something instead of time travel, it would have to be like a multi-dimensional.
I mean, time travel in general as a theory is doesn't make any sense ever.
No, it doesn't.
You know, so it's like the whole Back to the Future thing. Like, Marty technically exists in two places at the same time. And, you know, like if Marty were to go back to 1955 and he were to die there, is he still around in 19... Like, what? How does it work? It's crazy, but the way we're supposed to think is Kyle Reese goes back in time, dies, is reborn in 2000s, and then the cycle's just constant, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the weird thing about the Terminator movies is they send Kyle Reese back and to save Sarah Connor or whatever. That should be a perpetual loop, right? So really, the whole time, John Connor already knew that Kyle Reese was gonna make sure he was born, and then like so that loop is always the same. So he wasn't going back to change the future, but in Terminator 2 they try to change the future. So like in Terminator 2 they think, oh, we're gonna destroy everything and change the future, but we already know from Terminator 1 that it's a perpetual loop, and that you never change it, because if they actually changed it, the war never would have happened in the first place. It never could have been sent back, because time repeats itself again and again and again.
Yeah.
That's why time travel makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because they would have already known not to destroy them, because it wouldn't make any sense.
I don't know. I watched Doctor Who, and he time travels no problem.
Yeah, but does he try to change the future?
Yeah, you can't. You can't change anything.
That's what I'm
saying. You can alter it, but you can't change it.
Right. The thing with Terminator was that they thought by destroying the Arnold version, they would basically prevent the war from happening, because Skynet wouldn't have the chip. Wouldn't have. That was their whole thing. Was like,
technically, we never got the war, so it,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but then the war never happened, so then they never existed. So now you have this weird paradox where none of that ever happened, but it did happen. So what the fuck? None of it. When you start to think about it, doesn't
make no
sense.
Yeah, but almost every time, like, and especially in the first, like in the second, their focus was on destroying any proof or existence of
in T2.
The technology.
Yeah,
but always something always survives.
Right, I mean, that ends up being the thing. And like Terminator 3, the weird thing about Terminator 3 is that they just extended the date. They were like, oh, it didn't happen in 97, it happened in 2000 and whatever. That doesn't even really make sense. Like, if you think about it, it still doesn't make sense, but whatever. Terminator's a fun movie, I recommend it.
It is.
That's it. We could talk about time travel flaws forever.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And fucking your mind would just
explode.
There's
a lot of questions involved with, you know, time travel.
It doesn't, none of it makes sense, so.
You just got to run around the Earth the opposite direction twice as fast.
Hey, Superman did it.
The Flash, too.
All right. Go. You got anything, Jeff, or not?
Oh, boy, do I have some. Mm-hmm. I've watched a lot of stuff.
You know, whip it out.
For the sake of time. I did watch Burnt Offerings, which was supposed to be one of the movies, but...
There was a miscommunication.
There was a miscommunication on my part. That was my fault. So I won't go into details on that one. We can save that for a later date.
We'll cover it in the future, yeah.
But I did watch, this new series on television called The Strain.
I saw episode one.
I was like, all right, I think I can dig this. They're not really giving you too much in the way of what it is or whatnot. You kind of have an idea. The special effects are pretty decent. They got some CGI in there that's pretty decent. The acting sucks ass.
Yeah.
it's like a low budget TV series, but I mean, I held on strong.
You're still
I think
going
there's
with
like
it.
There's like 11 episodes in.
I've heard it starts to really drag.
It's fucking boring as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched the last episode with my kids.
Is it on Netflix? Or
it's on FX.
It's on. I watch it through seriescravings.com.
Yeah, it's on FX, but it's a Guillermo del Toro production.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I keep seeing it on demand on our TV. Maybe that's where I keep seeing it. I haven't watched it, but I keep seeing it pop up.
They need to step up the acting.
I just heard they need to step up the pacing. I heard the pacing is the major problem there, that it just drags.
No, I think it's moving along pretty decent. Yeah. It's just the acting sucks. One of the guys that plays there's a guy in there that's like a pawn shop owner. He's actually the guy that plays in the Harry Potter movies. He's the caretaker in the Harry Potter movies. He's a shitty actor. I mean, they should have gave him a part that had no talking in it. And the guy that played the, you know, Russell Crowe's best friend there, the big dude, he played in Lost. He was the one of the militia dudes or the mercenaries.
Did not watch Lost.
You didn't watch Lost? Let me see if I can think of another movie.
I wasted my life on that.
So glad.
Oh, Wild Hogs. Did you ever watch Wild Hogs with John Travolta?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
You know Ray Liotta's...
You never saw that?
No.
It's hilarious.
It actually wasn't too bad. It's pretty funny.
Ray Liotta's sidekick there. You know, remember who he was? The big dude? He was big dummy. He played a big dummy.
Yeah, I know
dummy.
You're talking about. I don't know.
I forget his name. But he plays this like Russian or Ukrainian exterminator, like a rat exterminator in New York City. And he plays it like a mutt. I mean, it's just... It's some pretty poor acting, but I mean, and we were screaming at the TV towards the end of the movie. I was like, this, you know, they got to fucking do something about this acting. It just sucks. And my daughter, she was even like, I can't believe they're doing this, you know, because the like first five episodes were decent. And then you could tell things started kind of taking a turn.
I don't know if I'm going to give it a shot or not. I haven't decided yet.
I'll tell you what, the opening scenes are fucking awesome.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean,
you know, the way they, you know,
right.
enter in. But that's, there's a new show out called The Backpackers. And it's a brand new show.
It's a reality show?
No, it's a comedy.
Oh, okay.
About two guys, it's about a guy and a girl who are supposed to get married. They decide that they want to sow their oats, they want to get everything out, but they want to do it traveling across Europe. They want to take a certain amount of time to do whatever, and they don't care. They're going their own way. They both don't know what their itinerary is.
That's a pretty common storyline for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it is.
But the guy, the girl goes off on her own, and then the guy, he goes off, but he brings his friend. And his friend is like a fucking, he's like attached to him. He gets all the pussy. He gets, you know, he gets laid like you wouldn't believe. And this other guy is like, this other guy is trying to figure out why the fuck he's doing what he's doing. He has a chance to get it with a woman. And before he does, he starts thinking about his woman doing stuff. And so he's like, now he's struggling to try to find her in Europe. He has no idea where the hell she is.
Wait, I thought his friend went to Europe. Wait, who's in Europe?
Him and his friend go to Europe. And
who's in Europe?
They're just traveling across Europe.
And she's in Europe,
anything.
Too.
And she's in Europe, too, and doing her own thing.
Isn't, like, European men, like, so sexual? Like,
yeah, they'll bang you.
Oh, no, it's not just men. It's everybody in Europe. They're all sexual. Yeah, the women... The fucking.
Well, I don't know if all of them are.
I mean, they're more sexual. They're more
every
sexual.
Every single. Like, you walk off the plane, someone immediately sucks your dick. Like, you step down. You know what I mean? You're like,
that would be
walking
awesome.
Out of the thing, and all of a sudden, like, someone just attaches to your dick. You're like, what's going on? You're like, you're in Europe, motherfucker.
That'd be awesome.
That's what we do here.
I would go to Europe every Sunday.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, no, I don't mean it that way. I mean, both male and females are.
They're more open sexually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Than we are
that
here.
That is a, yeah.
How long does it take to get there? I'm just asking.
It depends on where you're going. Although I think if you went
about 18 hours,
like I said, it's not all.
That's a long time.
It's
to get
not all
my
Europe
dick
that's
sucked.
Like that. You know, I don't know if the UK has that reputation. I don't know if like people in London have that reputation.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know, but maybe
Italy.
I would say Italy.
Yeah. France.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Spain, maybe.
There's only two episodes out. They haven't come out with another one yet. It's gonna be interesting to see the next episode. Give it a try. It's pretty funny. That's all I got, though. I mean, I got more, but I don't want to. Okay.
We can do news.
Yeah, no, we got plenty of time, so.
Do you want to do news or what? What do you want to do?
Yeah, we can do news.
Do you got anything?
I have a few things.
Do you want to do the intro?
We interrupt this program to give you an important news bulletin. This is a special
bulletin. Want to start?
Yeah, sure. Well, one of the news that I'm going to, it's not really news, it's more of an event that was announced, but I'm actually going to it, and I convinced my wife to go, so this is kind of a big deal. I convinced my wife to go to the Alamo in Yonkers with me, the theater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So you know what we're going to?
Pee-wee's Big Great Adventure?
No. Dismember the Alamo, right? I'm going to read the description here because it's at every single Alamo theater in the country, but every theater has a different lineup and the lineup is secret until right before you get there. So she has no idea what she's going to see either, which is a little frightening to her, but she's like, well, at the very least I can get drunk when I'm there, right? I'm like,
oh, yeah.
But we bought our tickets. It's awesome. You get to pick your seats. Yeah. You have full service the entire time you're there. So you have a waitress. They serve you alcohol.
It's like the Gills.
It's better than that though. Cause like the menu man is like, you can get milkshakes or you can get alcoholic milkshakes. You get unlimited popcorn, beer obviously on tap, burgers. Like it's like the menu is just.
No brie.
Huh?
No brie.
Yeah. Exactly. They might have a cheese plate. I don't know. But anyway, so. Dismember the Alamo, a new tradition of terror lurches to life. This October, we're serving up an all-new banquet of cinematic mayhem for ghouls in needs of bumps, thrills, chills, and demented pleasures galore with our first annual horror movie marathon. On Saturday, October 25th, select Alamo locations nationwide will host eyeball-melting, sleep-depriving journeys into terror with back-to-back screenings of four horror classics. Each location's unique lineup of films will remain a secret until just before showtime, guaranteeing ultimate tricks and treats. For the first time ever, all of our theatrical markets will unite in celebration of one of the Alamo's most beloved genres. We can't wait to get collectively terrified. Between films, attendees can expect specially curated pre-shows, oozing with spine-mangling, horrific gems and rarities, as well as special surprises between films, materialization of a special guest, prizes will be awarded for fiendish costumes, pulling out all the stops to guarantee a night of ghoulish delights, and the surprise guests are going to be a total scream. I convinced my wife to go to that.
Did you not read it like you read it to us?
No. I was like, they're showing four movies back-to-back, horror movies.
What did you have to do or give to her to get her to go?
All I had to do was tell her you get to choose your seat. I showed her, the seats are like awesome. They're not like fucking, you know, like Cinerama seats. You know, they're like... Yeah. Nice seats. You have basically a bar table in front of you. So it's just flat. You know, everybody gets their own space. Shai was like, look at the menu. She went, she looked at the menu. She was like, she's like, these alcoholic shakes look pretty good. I'm like, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
she's like, so at the very least, she's like, if I hate the movies, I can just get drunk. I'm like, exactly.
Are you staying here or driving back?
We're going to drive back. Yeah.
That's only two and a half hours.
It's not even, man. It's like, it's maybe
two. You get off 95, you're there.
Boom. Yeah. I mean, we'll probably come down, Sawmill. So come down 684.
So you're going to come through, Stanford then, right?
No, 684 down through White Plains.
You're going to cross over
84. Onto 87 and then, or is that 287 and then down to Yonkers.
Yeah, that'll bring you right in.
Try to avoid 95 as much as possible. But, tickets are only like, they were $20.
Oh, wow.
Right? Wow. I was like $20 for all night. It's 500 minutes, they said. So I don't know how long that is. It's going to be from like 5 to
it's
1.
It's 500 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be like, I don't know, hours wise.
That's going to be like almost 8 hours.
Yeah, it's going to be like from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. or something.
Wow. It's going What's to be, the menu like? It's going to be awesome. What's the price range?
Oh, it's like reasonable. Reasonable prices.
Not
it's,
$15 for a fucking
hamburger. No. And like I said, you can just order like typical theater food if you want.
Yeah.
And you can order the bucket of popcorn that's unlimited. So all night long, they just refill it for you.
Yeah,
you can get unlimited soda too.
I got to get down there.
Yeah, you should look into that, man. You should go to Dismember the Alamo. It's gonna be a good show.
Yeah,
cool.
I want to talk about that because I'm like psyched now. I'm like, I'm finally gonna get to go.
When is that one?
October 25th. So it's the weekend before Halloween. It's a Saturday.
Shit. Yeah, I wanted to go to Chiller, but I'm not gonna be able to make it.
Yeah, I realized. I was like, I'm probably not gonna be able to go to Chiller. I was like, so maybe I can go to this.
Yeah.
And I think it's gonna be an awesome show. Just hopefully they show good movies, which I think they will. You know, they
no doubt.
You know, they tend to show. The Draft House tends to show.
They might show something that you haven't seen before, but it's gonna be good.
But that's all right. You know, yeah. I don't mind that at all. The only other news I have is about an I Spit on Your Grave sequel. I got this from Bloody Disgusting, so take what you will for that, because the site's not known for being the most reliable when it comes to news. But they got it from Dread Central, so. Dread Central is reporting that Camille Keaton, who played Jennifer in Mirz Archie's 1978 classic I Spit on Your Grave, will be starring in the next film titled I Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu. That's a really stupid title. Oh. An actual sequel written by Zarchi that shares characters as well as continuity with the original 1978 cult classic. Chad Farron and Terry Zarchi are producing, with Mir once again directing. Here's the plot. Following her rape, Jennifer Hills wrote a best-selling account of her ordeal and of the controversial trial in which she was accused of taking the law into her own hands and brutally killing her assailants. In the small town where the rape and revenge took place, the relatives of the four rapists she killed are furious that the court declared her not guilty and resolved to take justice into their own hands.
So it's the same girl, then?
It's the same girl, but it's... Like, here's the weird thing, right? So, all right.
That's kind of weird.
Here's the weird thing. So this movie came out in 1978. So Camille Keaton's going to come back. But now it's... How many years is that? 88, 98, 08. So what, 30... 36 years? Yeah. Yeah, right. But the relatives are just going to take revenge now? It's not like they could even try to pretend that it's like...
Are they gonna make it like as if it just finished? Or just
that doesn't make sense because she's 35 years older. She's 70 years.
Yeah, but
old.
Doesn't look like she did
she's
in
so,
the fucking.
Not to be mean, but she's got to be like 70, 65, 70 years old. She like walks out of the courthouse like not guilty. Yeah. Took 35 years. 35 years, but I'm not guilty.
Time travel, though.
I don't understand it at all. Like, are they gonna have this woman like? Fight.
Is she gonna star in it?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
How the fuck
is an old lady gonna fight people off?
The relatives of the four rapists she killed are furious and decide to take justice into their own hands.
Well, if it was, say, she might have been what, 20 when she made the movie?
Maybe.
All right, so you figure 35 years, 55. There's some fucking hot women out there.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't understand how the timeline.
She took care of herself.
Like, did these relatives plot for 35 years? Like, sat around, like, all right.
You know, the South will rise again.
Like, eventually we're going to do it. Eventually we're going to take our revenge, but she's still a little too young. Let's wait till she's old.
How was the first movie? I've always wanted to watch it, but is it worth even watching?
It's got about a 40 minute long rape scene in it.
Yeah.
Which includes her being raped vaginally, raped anally, and almost raped orally, but the anal rape is pretty rough. It's pretty fucking rough. The movie.
She enjoyed doing that movie, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, it was like you can tell when you watch the movie. I mean, it's a brutal movie. It's not fun to watch at all, but the revenge aspect is pretty good. Like, she cuts a dude's dick off, and, like, there's stuff like that. Like, it's pretty graphic. I would never tell anybody not. I would, there are people I would tell not to watch it, of course. Like, so I was at work one day. It's kind of a funny story. And one of the girls I work with was like, yeah, we decided to watch a movie last night, me and my husband. She's like, we were looking for, like, a B movie. She's like, so we put on I Spit on Your Grave. I'm like, I Spit on Your Grave is not a B movie. It is not. I Spit on Your Grave is an exploitation film. There's a huge difference between
the two. Yeah.
You know what I mean? This isn't like Madman. You know, this isn't this isn't Chopping Mall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and she's like, I had to leave the room because she's like, it was 40 minutes of rape. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you chose the wrong movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys were looking for a night of yucks. And you ended up sitting around watching one of the most disturbing movies ever made.
Yeah, and her husband didn't get anything that night.
I couldn't tell you that. But she's like, I just told him to tell me when the rape stuff was over, and then I came back in and watched the rest of the movie.
She watched like 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, she watched the first 20 minutes and the last 30 minutes, you know?
He muscled through it, though.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to have a certain like type of, I saw it when I was 15, and I've seen it like maybe 4 or 5 times. I watched it like with friends and stuff that wanted to see it. It's not something I would watch something like Last House on the Left before I would watch
it. It's one of those movies that you wouldn't watch by yourself again. If you were going to watch it again, it would be with someone who didn't watch it.
And it's funny because I'm sure there are people that are, and there are people that say that about Cannibal Holocaust, and I watch that by myself all the time.
I still haven't watched that.
You know, but like Last House on the Left, you know.
I still got it, though. It's in there. I'll get to it.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched Cannibal Holocaust by myself. Well, I did it for the show, and I've done it before, you know, after that.
And Last House on the Left, same thing. Like, I'll watch that probably before I would watch I Spit on Your Grave, because I think it's a little bit more digestible than
But if you haven't ever seen it.
Oh, yeah, I would say, like, you'd be fine watching it, you know, but, like, I wouldn't tell, like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't tell my wife to watch it, because she would not, like, she wouldn't even, like, I'm hoping they don't screen that at the end. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they would, but, you know. Anyway, that's all I got, so what do you have, Mike?
All right, so I have a couple things here. I'll mention this one first, only because there's no details on it yet. I actually heard it on another podcast that had Ice Cube on it. And Ice Cube was talking about it because he's one of the producers. Dude, NWA is going to have a movie. Not a documentary, a full feature movie.
I did know this. Haven't they already started casting it?
They've already started casting it. Ice Cube's kid plays Ice Cube in the movie.
Yeah. I knew this because I had read this article about a casting call put out in L.A. And the casting call that was put out ended up being like a little bit racist. And it was basically like, all right. So we have the A girls, the B girls, the C girls, and the D girls. The A girls are the white girls. The B girls are the light-skinned girls. The C girls are the darker-skinned girls. And the D girls are the black girls. And, like, as you went down, the D girls were, like the nasty, dirty ones. And then, like, the A girls were the really hot ones and, like, bikinis and shit. So it ended up being, like, they were casting, like, the hot girls as white and the really nasty girl as black. It ended up being, like, a pretty big deal. Like, it was, like, it was pretty clearly racist.
It's going to be a period piece, so.
Yeah, that's what people were arguing. They're like, they're like, but come on. They're like, you're telling me that back in the 80s and the 90s?
Yeah, those, no, well, this would have been
They're like, the only hot girls were white and, you know, like, there were hot black girls.
This would have been... They would have been, because it's going to start with them as teenagers, so late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, that's because it's going to go up through their life. But yeah, I am interested to see what the movie's like.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, he was like, and he wouldn't go into detail on it. And I'm like, oh, go into more detail. But all he said was his son is going to play him in the movie. So, but yeah,
that'll be cool. That'll be a cool movie. Yeah.
How old is his son?
14 or 15. Yeah. So it's going to start around. I mean, I'm sure if they go younger, they'll cast a younger kid to play him and then put his son in. You know,
they'll probably have the older through part. The years, right? So it would be like they're gonna have a younger one, and then
it's supposed to start from like how they met all the way up to
So they're gonna have a NWA. Multiple people cast in the role, depending on the age.
So Deadpool's getting his own movie.
I saw that.
Fucking
yeah.
excited, dude!
I saw that. Yeah,
man, Deadpool is gonna be the shit. Okay,
a lot of people bitching about because they're talking PG-13, right?
It's gonna be rated R now.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Is that. The dude who played him in Wolverine movie, is he going to be...
I fucking hope not. Ryan Reynolds sucks,
dude. Ryan Reynolds? He does. Yeah.
He fucked up the Green Lantern movie. Like, he's terrible.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a mouth when he played Deadpool. So how can
if I know he's under that mask, it's going to piss me off. Like, don't fucking cast Ryan Reynolds. You got to cast...
It's weird that Ryan Reynolds is even a star. Like, I don't even understand why he's famous.
He was better in comedy.
He was the only thing he was ever good in was Van Wilder. That's the only thing.
Yeah,
and I think he was playing himself. Like, I'm sorry, I don't get why he's a star. He's not a good actor. He's not. He's just, I don't get it. I guess because women find him attractive. I'm going to guess that's a big part. Yeah.
So, well, Deadpool is an assassin.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if there's going to be any scenes with him outside of the costume. If there is, then you got to have somebody who's at least...
Who can act.
Who can act and who's at least muscular.
Well, yeah.
I mean.
Well, anybody can get muscular. Look at fucking Tom Hardy in, The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude does not look like that normally.
No, in the movie he just came out with, he's really small.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So you look at him now, he's small. Look at him as fucking Bane. He's like.
Yeah.
He's like a giant. Man. So you could even actually look at like Captain America where they made him look smaller. They did it all through CGI.
I always wonder how they fucking.
They did it all through CGI.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So you can make anybody look, I guess, however you want them to look. But these dudes, man, they get a personal trainer. They pay them for like 6 months, and before you know it, they're jacked.
Oh,
even 6 months. I mean, they can
not even
up in like 3 months.
You're right. Not even that. Yeah. Because that's all they do.
Oh, they just pump out fucking vitamins and creatine and.
Yeah, and if your job is to just work out and get fucking jacked, that's all you're gonna do.
Yeah. But no, I'm excited, man. Because if you think about it, it's just. An assassin, right? And he's an anti-hero, too. So he's just going to go around with guns and swords and just kick the shit out of people and shoot them and cut them in half with swords. That's going to be the whole movie.
Yeah, and he doesn't talk.
No.
He wears that mask all the time.
Yeah, he's always got the mask on.
In the comic book, he had the red and black suit on.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It'll be the same guy. Well, no, they already have the test footage for it. Oh, you can watch it on YouTube.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's CGI, but the movie's not going to be CGI. It's going to be guy in suit, but the test footage is all CGI.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. They're supposed to be shooting is supposed, it's going to be 2016, but shooting is supposed to start like February of next year or so. Soon. I don't know if you watch the Arrow at all. I know Yeah, I know Jeff is slacking on it because he's watching Californication all day.
And backpackers.
Yeah, and backloggers, whatever. the logging show.
Yeah, the logging show, yeah. Bareback riders.
What was that?
Barely Legal Riders.
Bareback Riders. Yeah. It's a gay sitcom.
I'm unaware of this. Is Seinfeld in it? I'll watch it if Seinfeld's in it.
Watch anything if he's in it.
Hello, Newman.
Like to have a whole scene in a restaurant. It's just really awkward for everybody in the restaurant.
Funny.
Let's see. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Arrow. Flash is getting his own TV show.
I knew that.
Yeah. You can watch the first 5 minutes on online or wherever.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, it looks fucking awesome. It looks really good. And everybody's like, oh, it's the CW. Oh, the CW sucks. They always put models on there. Well, yeah. Do you want some fucking slob on your TV? Right. You want someone that's appealing to the eye.
Right.
You know, like. The CW always has really pretty people on screen all the time.
Yeah,
you know
that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they've always done.
But it doesn't bother me at all.
I don't
if
care.
They cast someone like who wasn't totally ripped, then you'd hear people bitching and moaning about that.
That's true, too. You're right about that.
Flash should be ripped.
Right.
Fucking, you know.
People are going to, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
They're going to bitch no matter what. They're going to bitch. People are going to bitch.
Please everybody.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It doesn't bother me that it's on the CW. You did a great job with Arrow.
I wouldn't care. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I don't fucking care. If it's good, it's good. You know what I mean? Like, it could be on any network. It could still suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a good network like AMC or HBO could produce it. It could still be shit.
Yeah.
It's all about who's behind it.
I liked Arrow, but I hope the second season third season. I hope they took some fucking acting classes.
No, I thought he did a good job. I thought he was great. He doesn't really need to act anything. He just needs to have that dead stare
and do those fucking pull-ups on that thing in his
in a salmon ladder.
Salmon ladder.
You know Scott's got one of those, right? So
Scott who?
Scott. 6A Scott.
He has one of those?
Yeah, well his son's got it cuz his son's a karate kid.
Oh.
Is he
okay.
Like a ninja warrior.
So we got all drunk at his house one day and I was like, "Oh, I can fucking do
Come
that."
On.
Oh yeah, dude. I was cocked.
It
was the day we played paintball. My first try, I got to the second rung.
Did
Bam!
You?
Jumped up. You know what we're talking about?
I know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to the second rung, went to the third one, only got half the bar in there and just dropped to the ground, right? So everybody else is like, oh, I can fucking do it, right? So nobody could get it.
Couldn't
Phil,
even get the first, right?
Phil jumps up on it the first time, bam, all the way to the top and come down to the second one. Phil on the last one. First fucking try.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Wow.
That thing is not easy because you got to pull the bar out
and
then go back.
Oh,
you
yeah,
have
it's
to have
not.
It's like the pegboard in school.
I could only get to I got two
similar
and a half.
To that, yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
The difference with the pegboard being you can do one hand at a time.
You got to climb. It's like
with the sand, you got to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You both hands are coming out, so you can't even hold on with one hand.
Yeah. You got to have some fucking muscle to do that.
Well, I have a little bit because I got to the second rung.
I watched Phil climb a fucking tree that didn't have any branches on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Phil's a superhero, dude. Phil's a superhero.
He would be a good Deadpool.
Oh. Well,
yeah.
He's too short.
Hey, they're doing wonderful things with CGI.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that all I have? I think that's all I have.
All right. I got some releases.
Yeah, let's do releases. I think that's all I got. All
right. Coming soon to home video.
September 30th, we have the Leprechaun collection on Blu-ray.
Is it going to have the new one in it?
Yeah. I think that's the selling point. It's like $30. I mean, you can get all of them for $30 or something.
That's not too bad.
I heard the new one's really bad, though.
I haven't seen
really
it.
Bad.
I haven't really seen much
on it. I know Hornswoggle's in it, but...
Yeah.
He's in, like, a suit the whole time. Like, he's not playing, like, the leprechaun that we all know and love. He's playing, it's like a real horror movie. I don't know.
That's weird.
Basically, like, I don't know if they explain it, but they said that this was like a prequel to the other ones. But the Leprechaunus is basically just a monster. So like that would mean that like this monster would have to like fuck a little person to have Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how do you end up with Warwick Davis when you start with this thing that's just like a monster thing, like a rubber monster?
Yeah, that's weird.
How you end up with a little man running around making jokes? You know?
In the hood.
Yeah. Those are funny movies, though. Yeah. Like, if nothing else, man, they're funny.
Oh, they're hilarious.
Cold in July is coming out. That's supposed to be pretty good. Killer Fish, which is the Jaws ripoff. October 7th, we've got Edge of Tomorrow, which I'm kind of curious to see Edge of Tomorrow. That's the Tom Cruise one. The Neverending Story is coming out on Blu-ray.
Fuck yeah.
You know what Edge of Tomorrow reminded me of?
Did you see it?
I didn't see it. But just watching the preview and just the way they're acting, they reminded me of Artificial Intelligence.
Do you know what it's about? What the movie's about? So it's called Live, Die... Well, it's weird. They're marketing it as, like, Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah.
Which seems like that's the title now.
I think time travel's involved in it.
What it is they have to redo the same scenario over and over and over again. And every time they have to do it slightly differently to try to get... I don't know what the end goal is. But basically, they... You know, it's... Did you ever see the... I can't think of the name of the movie. There was a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal on a train.
Yeah, where he was dead. I mean,
remember what I mean?
Spoil it.
Yeah. But you remember how he had to keep doing the same thing over?
Yes.
I think it's kind of like that, but not exactly the same. Like, I think this might be like when you die, you go back to the beginning and start over again, and they have to try again.
That was actually a fucking pretty good movie.
That was a decent movie. Anyway, I'm curious. American Horror Story Coven is coming out. Duck You Sucka is coming out. Necromantic. No thanks. I'm all set with that. The Alien.
Necromantic?
Yeah, man. That's where like, chick puts a pipe on a skeleton and fucks it, and like people are fucking
like
dead bodies. Like a dude,
what was the one I let you borrow?
A dude digs a fucking body up in a graveyard and fucks it. It's the most fucked up, disgusting.
I think that's the one you got, right? That's not Ed Wood, right?
No. That's Necromania.
Yeah, the one I let you borrow had Ed Wood.
Necromantic is like a really weird, like blackish comedy, but it's disgusting.
Like Elvira.
I have a hard time dealing with like people fucking decomposing shit. I think it's the most disgusting thing. Like, it's nasty.
Fuck her right in the gallbladder.
Yeah. But like, we're gonna talk about Flesh or Frankenstein. That's a little different though. Like someone like fucking like a rotted corpse. And like, she takes like a bar and like sticks it in and just fucks the bar. And I'm like,
what do you say to that person? Like,
well,
your rotten hole.
They slept with like the body in the bed and it's a fucking nasty movie, dude. It's coming out on Blu-ray.
It's like House of a Thousand Corpses.
It's beyond that,
though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, Rob Zombie saw Necromantic and then tried to make, like, he saw movies like that and then tried to make that and didn't come close. Like, these movies are just fucking insane. Alien 35th Anniversary, which is weird because there's so many versions of Alien out there. Sharknado 2, Mortuary, Raw Force is coming out, yeah. Don't Answer the Phone. The Bronson Triple Threat Collection containing Death Wish 2, 3, and 4. It's worth having just for Death Wish 3. If you've never seen 3, it's awesome. Girlie's coming out. The Predator triple feature. Short Circuit. Black Sabbath, Black Sunday double feature. The Chuck Norris Total Attack Pack. With Death Force, Lone Wolf McCade, Code of Silence, and Missing in Action.
Code of Silence was awesome.
Yeah, 4-movie pack on Blu-ray. The Wrong Turn collection's coming out. Fuck that. Yeah.
Fuck that movie.
I like Wrong Turn too, and the first one's okay. The other one's, I watched 3, and then Island Claws. That's all I got.
What was the last one?
Island Claws. Some movie. I don't even remember what it is.
Island of the Misfit Toys.
Yeah, right.
Huh.
All right, before we go, though, I want to do one thing, because Jeff, you're leaving?
Yeah.
So when we were watching Invaders from Space, right, there's a scene, I'm going to talk about it next, but there's a scene where these people dancing on stage and shit. All
right.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, there's all the guys jumping around, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Where is it? Look at this. Tell me that that's not the same fucking thing.
Oh my god, that's Jeff is in the movie?
Look at the left picture from the movie and then the right picture.
Yeah.
Right?
That's Jeff's Halloween costume.
Come on, dude. I was watching it and I was like, no fucking way. That is Jeff's Halloween costume. Just his costume was blue.
Yep.
I bet those were blue, man. That was black and white.
They're black and white. No fucking way.
Isn't that funny, though?
Awesome.
Like, even the same fucking
stance as that. It's like... Oh, yeah, I've seen this movie a few
times. Yeah.
My cock's bigger.
You can cut this out, but I wanted to show it to him.
No No shit.
Funny as shit, dude. Come on.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you didn't watch it, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't. I watched the one movie that we're not doing.
Yeah.
Well, you might want to watch at some point because we're probably going to start working our way through the other three.
Okay.
Yeah, then we're going to do all of them.
So. Yeah. Right. We're going to push our way through them.
Can I still get it? Can I still watch it?
Oh, yeah.
It's on our YouTube channel.
It's on our YouTube channel.
I put it up there. You can watch it.
Yeah.
You know we have a YouTube channel, right?
I knew you had a channel, but I don't even know how to get to it.
Just go to YouTube, type in Midnight Triple Feature.
There we are.
And we'll come right up. Bam! On your TV.
You hit the little subscribe button.
I did that today.
No, you didn't, because you didn't find us. Well, the first thing that comes up.
I went to YouTube, and I typed in Midnight Triple Feature.
Yeah, we'll come. It'll come up with our icon right at the top. Or we're the first one that comes up.
Oh, I didn't hit that, though. I went to, you have the movies that we've reviewed in the past.
Yeah.
Just click on the little icon.
Yeah. You go to that, and we have... It's you can go. I have playlists. I have a public domain playlist, and it's in there.
Okay.
With two other movies.
Right.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Because I saw you put the Sadist in there. And that fucking movie's fantastic.
Sadist is so good.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna put Bucket of Blood up next. I think.
Yeah.
We're trying to put movies up that are good right now. I'm gonna put movies up that
it's gonna be Halloween time.
Movies that we actually would like recommend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But unless we're watching it.
House by a Cemetery. That's public domain.
That'll go up too.
Yeah.
Deep Red, the Hatcher Murders cut. Yeah. There's a bunch. Night of the Living Dead.
All right, Wayne, want to take a break real quick? Jeff's taking off.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to Midnight Triple Feature. Please head over to midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. Check out reviews, past shows, or link up to social media where we can keep in touch. Thank you for listening, and now back to the show.
All right, we're back, and we are going to start with Invaders from Space from 1965.
Yep. Scientists of the Emerald Planet have invented one of the most ingenious mechanisms the universe has ever seen. Called a globe meter, it is carried on the wrist. It enables its wearer to do three things: to fly through space, to detect radioactivity, and to speak and understand every language on the planet Earth. Finally, this great forum of the Emerald Hierarchy reaches a decision. In order to save Earth from the Coulombonian attack, they must once more present the globe meter to one of their fellow creatures and send him to Earth. He is the creature made of the strongest steel. The creature who can disguise himself as an Earthling. He is the creature known as Starman.
What was it?
Flying objects. Perhaps they are from outer space. We nearly didn't get away. They looked like nothing we'd seen on Earth. And they didn't respond to our radio signals either.
That's right. They seem to think that they're flying discs. They estimate that their last course is this direction. Put all planes in the immediate area on the emergency.
An emergency!
All planes search the area and report to tower. Make a report on all objects sighted. An emergency!
I had to put those emergency clips in because they're so stupid.
Yeah.
So obviously bad dubbing, right?
Oh, really bad.
There's no way that's what they were actually saying. Like, could you imagine, like, you're at an airport, right? And over the loudspeakers, all you hear is an emergency. Like, what the fuck's the emergency? Like, is it on fire? Like, do I have to go? Leave? Right. Are there terrorists? Like, what the fuck's going on? You can't just say an emergency again and again. It's like, it doesn't make sense.
But everybody seems
to know what's going on. So
yeah, I think there's a lot in here that was lost in translation.
Yeah, there has
a lot.
Yeah.
All right. So, you have a synopsis on it or anything, or do you just want to start?
I got a synopsis. Yeah, I have a little synopsis.
All right, go ahead.
Starman comes to save Earth from a plague being spread by a dance troupe of salamander men. I don't have that. That's all I have.
Well, that pretty much sums it up, really, when you think about it.
I was like, the rest is notes. I have one sentence. That is the movie, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they are a dance troupe, right? They dance around and
Yeah, I have some notes on that. Dance troupe.
All right, so what do you want to start with?
Oh, man.
There is quite a bit here.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I kind of broke this out. Like, I just broke it into like parts of movies. I wanted to talk about the kids because I really hated the kids in this movie.
Yo, the kids were bad.
They're fucking annoying as shit. Like, I was really hoping they were going to die. You know what I mean? Like, I knew they weren't because the movie was made geared towards families or children in Japan. Clearly it's a superhero movie from Japan.
Yeah.
So. But like, I tend to hate all the kids in Japanese movies. And I don't know if it's like the dubbing or what, but like, you know, like in a lot of these movies, they always have to have a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I know why, but I don't know why, man. I just fucking want them to die. And then there's this really funny scene where they basically send all the kids away on a train.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There doesn't appear to be any adults. And all I was thinking in my head was, please be sending them to like a concentration camp. So they're all going to get gassed because these kids are so ridiculous. I don't know what you thought.
No, they are really.
They annoyed the fuck out
really
of me.
Really annoying. Because there's a, we'll skip ahead. There's a,
yeah, just jump around.
There's a weird, like dancing troupe in the woods.
Yeah.
And they're just dancing around the
I
kids.
I have that written down.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, just kill the kids. Just kill the kids.
And the kids are like scared. I'm like, they're just they're putting on a show.
Yeah,
like,
they're dancing.
You should be happy. And then like a fucking tree falls at one point. I'm like, kids dead. They got, and they're like, no. And then there's like a scene later where the little girl's like being chased by this like salamander witch lady.
Yeah.
And she runs up to this bum and the bum's like, fuck off. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm not helping you.
Oh, yeah. There's so many ridiculous things. I forget the bad guy's name that's got, like, the weird face.
I don't have any of the names. I kind of like.
They're
liked,
probably irrelevant.
I kind of liked the look, like.
But the look of the alien was actually really cool.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Like, when you first see him, like, when he goes, there's that, it's, like, near the beginning when he goes into the house and takes him. He's, like, the doctor or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's, like, that dark. It's almost like that, that noir-type lighting.
Yeah.
And, like, it actually looks pretty good. I was actually kind of surprised.
Yeah, it looks cool. And it's funny because it's just a mask with really bad effects to hold it down.
Yeah.
Like, you can see, like, under the face. You
well, I have it written down. I'm like, when they're in, like, dark light like that, they look pretty cool. But when they're in, like, bright light, they look like shit.
Yeah.
So, like, it's and that's another thing, too. Like, it's pretty clear that this was two movies put together. Because, like, you have the scenes where it's, like, lit really dark and it's, like, really atmospheric. But then you have other scenes where it's clearly different. Like, everything's bright and.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty obvious. Did you see the Nosferatu reference in there?
No, I didn't catch that.
So, in the scene, like, later, where there's that witch salamander lady chasing the kids.
Yeah.
There's two references in there. One's a Wizard of Oz reference, too. The Nosferatu reference is. There's a scene where the shadow of the thing is on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's like, there's a scene in Nosferatu where he walks into the house and all you see is a shadow on the wall.
It's like an extended shadow.
Yeah,
like
they ripped that off here. And the scene where the witch lady gets, that melts too. That's like right out of Wizard of Oz. What'd you think about the fights?
I got that down here. Okay. Like, it's basically just them rolling around.
Yeah.
And, like, not really doing anything.
I put slap fighting.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of slap fighting.
It did remind me, this whole thing reminded me a lot of, like, the original Flash Gordon TV shows. Like, same style of fighting.
That's a good reference. Yeah. And that makes sense because this was made for Japanese television, right? These are, like, 45-minute episodes, I think I read.
Yeah.
And then some American guys are like, let's just throw them together. Like, edit them together in, like, an 80-minute movie.
Like, I don't know if you watch any, like, those fake reality shows like the where they tow cars and shit, like the tow truck.
That's
the same style of fighting. Like, that's in those shows. Where they just kind of wrestle around and like they don't actually hit anybody.
It's exactly what it is. And like I wondered as I'm watching it, I'm like, the dude that played Starman, I mean, he was in a lot of stuff later.
Oh, he's in a ton of stuff, yeah.
But I'm like, I wonder if he ever looked back and was like, oh, god damn it, like, why did I do that? Like, I look so ridiculous. Yeah.
I also, and I know they did this in the older, like, Superman movies and pretty much anything where somebody flies. Why the fuck are their hands always out in front of them?
I know, yeah. It's,
it doesn't even,
it's really stupid.
Cause there's like, if, like, when you're watching it, there's plenty of times where I just imagine that there was somebody behind the camera because there's times where his hands are on the side and someone's behind him going, put your hands out.
And it also looked like when he's flying, sometimes you could see, like, I don't know if they this is a bad idea, if they decided to, like, put, like, one of the harnesses or whatever, like, on his ass.
Yeah,
but
I noticed that.
There's, like,
there's
this little
one,
thing.
Two.
There's this little thing, like, poking out of his ass, like, as he's flying.
Yeah, at the top of his butt crack.
Yeah.
And there's one right on the back of his back.
Yeah, you can clearly see it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it looks like something's just coming out of his asshole. It's like,
it's like a small little eye hook.
Yeah, no one realized that. He's also half the size of a UFO. So when he flies into the UFO, like, he gets inside and it's like this huge, spacious UFO. But when he's flying up to it, the dude lengthwise is as long as a UFO.
Yeah.
And then the UFOs just kind of, like, explode.
But, like, if you want the impression that he's flying, like, make his cape move a little more.
I know. Yeah, like, blow a fan on him.
Yeah, put a fan on him. Don't just put your hands out in front of you and then just. Ugh. And then it's funny because he's like a puppet. They're just like, drop the front, drop the back, drop the front.
Yeah, I mean, the effects are very, like, very cheap sci-fi. Like, in the opening scene where you have all the scientists on the planet, like, if you look in the background, Saturn is swaying back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly just, like, you know, a set on a rope or on a string or whatever. I mean, I guess there's, like, there's a charm to that. There's a...
Yeah, I mean, you know, to the period, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But there's that scene where they're going to drop the girl in the big thing of acid.
I wish they did.
Yeah.
I put that down, too, at some point. Yeah.
And Starman comes down, swoops her up, flies back into the air, but still puts his other hand straight out to fly. So, like, what the fuck is the point of this?
What else do I have here? Let's see.
What about how, you know, when he's not Starman, he's in that suit?
Yeah.
Why does he wear it? Like, he woke up in the morning and he's already in a suit.
I don't even know why he has to wear the suit. Does he not want people to know he's Starman? Because everybody seems to know.
Yes. Yeah, everybody knows he's Starman.
So what's he doing walking around in a suit?
But here's what I got. At the very end of the movie, where you get the narration, you do notice they call him the Man of Steel, right?
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yeah, okay.
They call him the whatever, and then they say he's the Man of Steel. There's so many Superman references in this.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So the point, so I'm guessing the suit was if he was Clark Kent and then Superman.
Yeah. Same and concept. Plus, we don't know what was missing, and this was all fucking voiced over by Americans.
Yeah.
So we have no clue what the actual storyline was from the Japanese side.
It just looks
for
like,
all we know, they didn't know who, you know what I mean? He may have had an alter ego. He may have been a normal guy. You know, he may have been disguising himself as a human and then.
Yeah.
We don't know that because they use a lot of voiceover exposition to explain to us what's going on to the point where like, at some points they're explaining to us what we're watching.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's like
I hate when they.
I know. It's like this is ridiculous. You don't need to tell me what I'm looking at. I'm not a fucking idiot. It's exposition. That type of stuff bothers me. The big voiceovers, but yeah, I don't know. I just think that they took these movies, had no idea what the fuck these people were even saying, and just made shit up. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's a fun little movie.
It is a fun movie.
I've been watching a ton of Japanese stuff lately, so that's kind of why I chose it.
I said there are some actually surprisingly good moments in here. I think like I said, those scenes like at night in the dark lighting and stuff, I actually think are kind of fun. I like the Nosferatu reference. I like the makeup when it's in the dark. I think it looks kind of cool. It has like that 50s, like, I don't know if it's like a Dick Tracy-ish style to it. Like,
yeah, kind of.
I can't think of the right, maybe not the right reference, but almost like what you would expect, like from one of those like crime, like maybe even like a Batman, like an original Batman, but if it were black and white.
Yeah. Well, like the 60s Batman.
Yeah, it's very much like the Adam West Batman in a way.
It's that style of film.
It's very campy and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It's kind of actually directed towards kids, I would think. Maybe
I have
over
right
there.
Here that when I'm trying to think about how I take the movie, I'm trying to take into account that it's pretty clear it was made for children.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't mean that you can't get a kick out of it, but they were definitely trying to get children to watch this.
Yeah, that was a fun little flick.
Yeah, I had fun with it. I'd be interested to see. I think it might work well in its just original format, though. Like the 45-minute episodes. I think it would be...
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't...
I don't even know if you could get those. We'd probably find them somewhere now,
but... Yeah, I don't know. I looked into this stuff a little bit, and all I could find is the American versions on DVD, but I bet the full episodes are out there.
Yeah. I mean, I have all the other ones, but when I looked, I could only find like two movies on one DVD.
Yeah, because I don't even know if we mentioned this is the fourth in the series or third or fourth.
Yeah, this is, a little farther in.
Yeah, it's not in the beginning. I know that much. But this isn't a series. We didn't even say this is a series of four movies, right?
Yeah.
Three or four movies. So.
So.
You got anything else?
No, that's it. If you're into like Japanese stuff like that, it's actually fun to watch.
Did we ever see the title of the movie?
Yeah, it's Starman.
Invaders from Space.
Yeah, no, I said it in the beginning.
Okay, I was
did
we ever? I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, we said it in the beginning, but I don't remember if we actually said it in the beginning or not. And this movie's called Invaders from Space.
I got the title right here.
And it's like, in the public domain, so. As far as we know.
Yeah, so. It's free, so you can find it.
Anywhere. On our YouTube
page. Pretty much anywhere. Yeah, go to our YouTube page. You can add, yeah. Go to YouTube, type in Midnight Triple Feature, click on videos, and it'll come right
find
up.
Find it.
So.
All right, you want to do Flesh for Frankenstein?
We can.
We have to find the right head for this torso. It has to be of a man who strongly craves women, whose overriding urges are sensual. If he succeeds in finding such a single-minded man, our chances are very good. That the male we create will fall in love with my female zombie. They will mate, and she will bear me the children I want. They're going to be a true start of a new race, entirely created by me. To know death, Otto, you have to fuck life in the gallbladder.
It's got to be one of the greatest quotes of all time.
Oh, my God. I was going to try to pull it from the movie for a soundbite, and I couldn't get it.
You have it now. You just got to take that clip and then edit it down.
Is the music behind it in
no,
the movie?
No, actually I can pull that clip for you.
Oh, yeah, we need that clip. Just that just that clip. Oh, that would be great to have.
All right, Flesh for Frankenstein. Flesh for Frankenstein, also known as Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, is an Italian-French horror film directed by Paul Morrissey, produced by Andy Warhol. The film stars Udo Kier as the Baron, Joe D'Alessandro as the stable boy, Monique Van Voren as the Baroness, Arno Jorging as Otto, Dalila Di Lazzaro, and Sergen Zelenovic as the monsters. All right, I'll get a little bit of background first, so I'll go over that, and then we'll get into a little bit of story and other stuff. So the film was originally cut to 93 minutes to get an R rating, thereby increasing its viability for wider distribution. It was this version which was attributed for a 3D release during the 3D craze of the 80s. So this movie was released in 3D in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah?
The U.S. DVD releases have utilized the full uncut version, which is now unrated, and that's the one you can get on Criterion. And there's another label that carries it. The film had its television premiere in the United Kingdom on November 17th of 2009 and was broadcast in 3D as part of Channel 4's 3D Week. The film was also banned in the UK as one of the notorious video nasties in the 80s. So this movie was actually banned from video distribution in the early 80s, same as the movie we watched last week.
So they banned it but played it on TV.
Well, the thing is, 2009, they would have been banned in 80... I don't know when the nasties were, 82.
Yeah, somewhere around.
So by 2009, they've gotten a little bit more lax. That doesn't say, though, that it was uncut on television either. It may have been still cut. So the story concerns Baron Frankenstein, who wants to create male and female zombies so that they can mate and create a new race of perfect Serbians. Things go wrong, though, when him and Otto mistake their male victim as a sexual powerhouse, but in actuality has no interest in sex and plans of becoming a monk. They behead the young man outside of a brothel, but after bringing both to life, the male monster refuses to mate with the female. During all of this, the monster's friend, who accompanied him to the brothel, recognizes his friend and plans on setting him free. Alright, so I guess let's just talk about at least talk about the Baron and his Igor first. So, like, what did you think about Udo Kier as Frankenstein, basically?
I actually kind of liked him.
He's really good.
He's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I was surprised.
He's very believable in that role.
Yeah.
Like, the way he just treats everybody around him.
He's 100% committed to this role.
Yes, oh, yeah.
And, I mean, Udo Kier, man, the dude's done so... He's been in over 200 movies. Like, I guarantee you have seen a movie with Udo Kier in it if you watch horror movies, because he's been in so much. He's been in a lot of American stuff, but he always has small parts.
Yeah. Maybe I've seen him before.
You have.
First time
this is like a big
paid
role.
Attention to him.
He always just shows up. Like, if you look at his filmography, you'd be like, oh yeah, I saw that. Like, go and actually look, he's been in over 200 movies. He's still acting.
Now, see, the one thing that I kept thinking the whole time, is that his real accent?
Udo Kier, I don't think so. He's British, I believe.
Okay, yeah. Because to me, every once in a while, it seemed the accent was really good, but yeah. It just seemed like it wasn't him. Like, I don't know.
I don't think he actually has a thick accent like that. Trying to think of, like, I can't, off the top of my head, have a comparison to put it to. But then also, the dude that played his assistant, Otto, the Igor, basically, is Arno Jorging. I thought he was pretty good, too.
Oh, he's really good.
Right? I mean, yeah. Like, those two guys, they carry the movie from performance side.
Yeah, those two, you can tell that they got some sort of chemistry together. Like,
yeah,
they really work well together.
And they both can act. I was like, when I went into this movie, like, as far as from the performance side, I wasn't expecting much. Like, I know Udo Kier can act, and I know he's been around forever. But, like, when I actually saw the two of them together, I was like, they actually are really well cast, man. Like, they seem like assistant and like scientist. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He treats
him like shit.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that relationship feels real.
Dude, he was in Lord of Salem's.
Yeah, man. He's been in a lot.
He was Witch Hunter, Frankenstein and the Witch Hunter, but he was uncredited. He's been in a lot of stuff.
I'm telling you, go through it. Yeah,
he was in Chuck, a TV show I watched. Oh, okay, one episode. I was going to say, because I don't remember.
I was going to say, he always has these, like, small parts.
Yeah, but he's in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he really is. He's one of those guys in the horror community.
He was in Grindhouse.
Yep.
He was in the remake of Halloween.
Yep.
He was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. These guys been working forever.
Oh, he was in Dracula 3000, which is a shitty fucking movie.
He's been in a lot of shitty movies. That's
Dogville. Yeah, no, tons of stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, so
Armageddon and Blade.
I was gonna say he was in Blade, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and just start looking for him now.
You're gonna be like, oh fuck, that's him. There's the Baron. Like, yeah, you're gonna be. He's in a lot of stuff. So like those two guys, perfect for this movie, man. Like they make the movie. Like this movie could have been. I mean, it easily could have been just completely unwatchable, but I think they're so good that, like, they were enough for me to be like, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
So this movie is basically, like, a lot of sex and a lot of violence. Like, want to talk about, like, I know that specifically the scenes in a brothel. So, like, what did you want to talk about with the scene with the dude is fucking that chick and then there's, like, a little gecko or something?
Yeah. So they're in a brothel, right? And before this happens, actually, his friend says, you know, he wants to be a monk, and the other dude's like, "Oh, I never even saw you pray before, or whatever, like that."
Yeah, yeah.
So they make that notion that he is not interested in sex at all.
Yeah.
Then they get into the brothel, and his friend's on one bed with two chicks, and he's on the other one with another chick. The chick keeps, you know, kind of kissing up on him, kissing his neck, really weird kissing I've never seen before. I think they were trying to eat him or something. It's weird.
Yeah.
But the whole time, he is staring at his friend. He's not paying attention to the girl at all, but he is paying attention to his friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it that, like, at that point, I kind of took it as maybe he's gay.
Maybe. I didn't even think about that, but that's a really good point.
Because he's focusing on his friend all the time.
Yeah.
He never pays attention to the woman.
Yeah, they don't really address that again either, but that does explain a lot. Like, it does explain later, too, even when he's the monster, and he wants nothing to do with the female monster or to do with the Baroness when she's trying to have sex with him.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's like, kiss him again. Kiss
him
again.
Yeah, kiss him again. Kiss him again. Kiss him again. He's getting so fucking pissed. He's like, how did we screw this up? And it's really funny, too. Like, he has that whole thing. Like, anybody that goes to brothels, they'll fuck anything, you know? And they hear, like, the girl screaming because of the gecko.
Yeah, the gecko.
And they're like, what's going on in there? Why is she screaming? And Udo Kier is just like, oh, you know, basically he's like, yeah, they're into really weird shit. You know, like, thinks that he's, like, beating the shit out of her in there.
Yeah, and then he says, oh, that guy has a perfect head. We need to come back later.
Yeah.
How the fuck does he know how long he's going to be there for? He doesn't know.
That's true.
He went all the way home. Got the forceps or whatever you want to call them. Right. I don't know what the hell those things are called.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And came all the way back. Like, they could have been gone by that point in time.
It's funny, too, because, like, they chop his head off, you know? Did you notice that, like, the eyes were still moving and the mouth was moving?
Dude, you can tell that's a really like low budget.
Oh yeah,
like,
it's awesome.
But it's fucking
man.
Awesome. It works so
it's
well.
So cool. It's got like that real like campy 70s like all the gore in this movie.
And it's just all the gore in this movie is just a lot of blood like splattering, like just squirting.
Yeah. And like there is a pretty good effect where he's got like a set of lungs. They're lungs, right? Like in a glass or something. And they're breathing and there's a heart. I actually thought that was kind of cool. So,
but, the Getco scene. Go back to the bra.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have to talk about the sex scene.
Okay.
All right. Let's get a little music to set the mood, right? All right. So he's laying on the bed. And he's got two chicks with him, right?
Yeah.
He's got the heftier chick and he's got the other chick who's kind of like, kissing up on his neck and stuff. And she is just, oh man, she's going to town on his kneecap. She's licking his kneecap. Oh, she's kissing behind his knee. She's playing with the hair on his leg.
That's where a guy's G-spot is, behind his leg.
Not this guy. Not this guy at all. But that was just the weirdest sex scene I've ever seen, man.
Well, they also had the close-up on his ass, which is weird, too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's like this close-up on his ass, and you're like, all right, well, I'm getting the feeling as I want that, like, they're not trying, like, I don't think that was supposed to be erotic. I think that was supposed to be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to all of a sudden go like a close up on a dude's ass, which I mean, I saw a movie called Thriller, A Cruel Picture, which I think we're going to review sometime soon, where there's a similar shot of like a dude's ass. And it's like, I don't really understand why you want to show like some dude's hairy ass, but
yeah, it's weird.
But, I mean, there's a lot of sex and nudity in the movie. That is a very weird scene. You're right. I mean, it is very strange. The way it's shot, there's nothing erotic about
nothing.
It. Like, you know what I mean? Like you said, it's very odd.
It's basically one chick just mouth wide open, just like licking and like,
maybe she was new to the brothel.
Maybe. And then, it was just completely strange. I mean, even the other chick, we'll call her the sister.
She is the sister.
Well,
right?
Did he
fuck her? Was that their kids?
God, he says it is.
So he fucked his sister, right?
Well, the whole time he's saying, my wife, and she's saying, my husband.
And then he says his sister.
Then he says it's his sister.
Yeah, and like I read, so I have.
And then he says, those are our children. You killed mine and my sister's killed. You did whatever to, mine and my sister's kids or whatever.
Yeah, so I read this interview with the director, and they had asked him about, and the guy comes off as I don't know how to explain. I have actually a pretty funny quote about his thoughts on Andy Warhol, but I'm going to say that later. But they asked him about like that stuff, like the incest and stuff, and I was like, that confirmed for me that it was his sister, because I don't think there's any other incest in the movie.
No.
But they asked him, I'm like, you know, they said, because he made a comment about sex and violence in movies, and his thing is, I was ridiculing all that stuff that was supposed to be sacred, using it for the bigger picture. That wasn't the point of my movie, but it was in the movie. My films weren't very violent. My films were like the rest of the films. It was humorous. So to him, this whole thing, like this incest, like the necrophilia.
It's funny.
To him, it's funny. It's satire.
Yeah.
To him, I mean, I don't know. It is funny, but it's funny. Like, it's funny, like, in a weird way. I don't know if I would consider it satire. Like, I don't know if he's saying that he was trying to make fun of, like, all the movies, like, the exploitation films by just going over the top with it and, like, throwing it back in our face. But, I mean, I don't think it was funny.
Yeah, I didn't think it was funny either.
The gallbladder thing is funny as shit.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Right. So let's talk about that scene. So there's a scene where the Baron, Udo Kier, he pulls like her liver out and fucks it, right? And then puts it back in. And then he fucks her incision.
Yeah, but he makes his little buddy there come over, because he cranks the bed down,
right,
so it's straight up and down. Mm-hmm. And then he stands in front of her, and then the other guy cranks it so he's laying down.
Yeah.
It's
and then
really weird scene.
It is. And then he has sex with her incision, and then he says that comment of, like, to understand death, you have to fuck life in the gallbladder. Like, what was he doing? Is that how he brought her back to life? Or because
no, because it was the electricity.
He used the electricity. Yeah. So why was he fucking her dead body?
Because that's what he likes. That's what he's into.
Yeah, but
and
his
as
whole...
he's fucking a dead body, he's yelling at his little friend there to stop looking. He's creepy.
I know. But you're the one fucking not even just fucking a dead, fucking the hole in the side of her body. Like,
yeah.
He's not even just like having sex with the body. He's fucking like a hole in her body, like in her stomach.
He's fucking life into the gallbladder, yo.
So, anyway, I mean, I don't know what else I want. That's basically the movie, honestly. Like, I mean, the ending,
there's some good effects, like when the hand gets cut off.
There actually are some, like I said, the lungs, I think, is a good effect.
And then the kids, there's something weird with the kids. Because earlier in the movie, you see them steal a hand.
The kids are fucking weird because it opens with them dissecting dolls or whatever.
Yeah.
And they like to sit up and watch their father.
Their father.
Work. So I think like that's supposed to be like him, his kids, the son and daughter, are like the replacement for him and his sister in the future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But they steal a hand.
Yeah.
And then, spoiler alert, if you want.
Yeah.
If you don't want this spoiled, just skip ahead 30 seconds or something. When the other guy is hanging from the ceiling, and they come over and basically start cranking him back up.
Yeah.
And they come over with the scalpels, which makes me think they're just going to carry on this guy's work.
That's what I think is going to happen. Yeah. I think that they are the replace. Like, when, again, spoiler, when the Baron dies, and so what you think is going to happen is that everybody's dead except for the hero, basically, the friend.
Yeah.
You think, like, the kids are just going to let him down and let him go.
Yeah, because they were helping each other before.
Yeah, I know. But then all of a sudden, it's like, well, now we're going to take up his work. I think they were trying to establish that in the beginning with the dolls, and then when they showed them constantly watching him work, I think they were trying to insinuate that, like, basically they were going to do the same thing. And, like, I guess eventually he was going to fuck his sister and have some kids.
It kind of just made me laugh when you said it, so maybe it was funny.
It is. Like, I get what he's... Like, when he says that this is supposed to be funny, I get it. And maybe if I watch it again, like, maybe it'll come out more. Because there are definitely... Like, we talked about the sex stuff. It's almost so weird that it has to be funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you said, like, sucking on the knee... The close-up of the ass. Like, yeah. You think about those things, it's funny. It's not... And if you listen to his comments, if he's saying he was doing it on purpose, like, we're looking at it as, like, why would he do that? And he's saying, I'm doing it because it's supposed to be funny. You'd be like, okay, well, maybe I'm looking at this all wrong. Maybe it is all supposed to be funny, and that's why the gallbladder thing makes sense. You know, like, a comment like that doesn't make sense. Well, I think that was improvised, but still, it's like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird.
Yeah, but I want to read you what he said about Andy Warhol. You know who Andy Warhol is, right?
Yeah.
That artist or whatever. So this was the question. He's got the greatest fucking answer. So Andy Warhol's name is attached to many of your films, but he had nothing to do with them creatively. Is that accurate? And here's his response, and it's a little bit lengthy. He says, why would you think he did? Why would you imagine that he did? Because it says Andy Warhol presents in the opening credits. That's the guy's sponsor. He said, because they read his name in the paper, like Lady Gaga. Why don't they say Lady Gaga really influenced those movies?
What the fuck does that mean?
All they want is a celebrity name. I made his name famous. You think that shit that he did, a dealer sends him a picture and he sends a back of silkscreen? You think that got good? They sent him more and more of those photographs to be silkscreened because his name was famous because of my movies, okay? He didn't know good or bad. He didn't know who'd be good in front of a camera. He didn't know anything about movies at all. How would he be connected with my movies? He was incapable of connecting with anybody's anything. He was so autistic. He was so handicapped. He had Asperger's disease. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. He couldn't speak. He was, his special gift was he couldn't do anything. So he appeared more idiotic in real life than he was in reality. But he had no ability for anything at all. So he painted? He never painted anything. The dealer sent him the money and the photograph, and then he had a silkscreen. That's painting? So I'm supposed to live with the idea that he contributed to my movies because I let him present them because I was his manager, and I had to think of things to do to get his name out there, and he couldn't do anything? So he presented my movies, and what does the scum media, filth, commie pieces of shit do? Type up this crap. I made his movies. Look, that's the kind of journalist I've been dealing with my whole life. So it's nothing I haven't noticed. That's it. That's the whole quote. The dude fucking went off. Like, it's called Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, and clearly that pisses him the fuck off.
Wow. That's pretty that's pretty hardcore, though.
Right.
He's got Asperger's disease.
He's handicapped. He's got Asperger's. He can't read. He can't write. He can't do anything. Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh, let's see. What do I have? So I have that. I have a lot of, there's a lot of necrophilia in here. There's a scene where Otto fucks the female.
Oh my God, is that fucking weird or
that's
what?
Really weird, man.
He's like, I've been watching him the whole time. He thinks I don't know what I'm talking about. And then oh my God.
He cuts her open too, so he cuts open.
He does it with his bare hands.
Yeah, oh, he disembowels her.
Yeah, basically. He just rips her wide
God,
open.
It's so fucked up.
And he's gonna fuck her gallbladder. Yeah.
Basically that's the movie. What did you think?
I actually kind of liked it.
Me too.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, in a weird way, I kind of liked it.
I know, man. It's so weirdly fucking entertaining.
Yeah, it's.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like the sex scenes kind of give it that awkward feeling.
Yeah.
But it's like you're not. It's just so hard to explain. You kind of get right through the sex scenes, and it's just like something else happens.
Right, that's what I say. I say, like, there's plenty of sex. I wrote down, there's plenty of sex and nudity. But then there's, like, all this, like, campy gore. It's, like, a lot of fun. It feels like someone took a Hammer film and, like, mixed it with, like, an exploitation film.
Yeah.
Like, it has this weird, like, classy feel to it.
It's very classy.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, first of all, it's a period piece.
That's like a perfect word for it.
Yeah, the way it's shot, it's like a classy exploitation film because there's a dude fucking a liver, but at the same time, it's like, it just feels like this nice Hammer movie, you know? Like everybody's in costume and and the performances are good, like we said.
Like even the set of the bedroom.
Yeah.
That's very Hammer style.
Yeah, it all feels like it.
Very
but
set to the
Hammer
period.
Would never have, you know, At least from what I think of Hammer, wouldn't have a dude fucking a corpse. You know what I mean? Like, that's... Especially fucking an incision in a corpse.
Yeah.
So, I actually recommend this movie quite a bit, man. If you haven't seen
it... Don't watch it with... I mean, if you have small children and you let them watch that type of stuff, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if that's
but
cool
I wouldn't
with
recommend
you,
having
I wouldn't,
them in a room.
I wouldn't... And not to mention the uncomfortable, you know, conversations you may have to have after that feeling.
What do you mean, daddy fucker in a gallbladder?
I know. What is
There's
that?
There's really
mean?
No way to explain
What's
that.
What's a gallbladder? Oh, my God.
So.
Yeah, I recommend this movie quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
It's twisted. It's bizarre. But, man, it's fucking entertaining.
It is.
All right. So, next show. What are we watching again?
Are they over by you?
Oh.
You got them?
Oh. All right. So, we are doing let's call it a double feature. What is the production company? Acid Bath Productions?
Acid Bath Productions.
So we're doing an Acid Bath Productions double feature. Both films directed by James Balsamo. These are two movies we picked up at CT Horror Fest, or a couple of indie films. The movies are Cool as Hell and Catch of the Day. One looks like a horror film, maybe, and one looks like some sort of weird cop.
They're both very... I skipped through... They're both very comedy movies.
All right. Anyway, that'll be next episode. Cool as Hell.
Like Cool as Hell, the back cover is very misleading. It is Savini.
He's in it for like 2 seconds, all right?
Yeah, he has like a clip.
They paid him like 10 grand to show up for an hour.
Show up for, the day or whatever. But it's actually very, I skipped through and it's very comical.
All right, cool. Well, look forward to that and see what we have to say. We will be brutally honest. I'll say that much. So if they suck, we're going to say it.
Yeah, if you guys can find them and follow along, it is Cool
as
Hell.
One more time. Cool as Hell, Catch of the Day. Acid Bath Productions.